The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. Just approaching 6 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 26th of July, 2023. How are you keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. And you're on board with us now for the next 3 hours on this programme. We've loads coming up on the show for you. As always, we want you involved in the conversation. You know that, don't you? 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Emails come into us at comments@highlandradio.com. Right, let's crack straight on with a look what's making the front of and inside some of the newspapers. This morning, the Finn Valley Voice: overwhelmed LUH emergency department needs modular extensions. It is 10 years to the day since a devastating flood swept through Letterkenny Hospital, forcing clinical staff to work for months in modular units. Now, another emergency overcrowding could see them working in modular units again. A permanent extension remains the long-term remedy being examined, says one senior staff member, but we are keen to address the matter, with modular extensions now being considered as a possibility. And indeed, when we were speaking to the general manager of Letterkenny Hospital a couple of weeks ago, Sean Murphy, he did confirm that that was being looked at. Planning applications or planning permission was in for what was being outlined there, which is it's not ideal, but it's a positive development, one would hope. Both in a show on newspapers this morning focus on a story that I'm going to read to you, but some might find distressing, so just be aware of that. The Inish Times: a Donegal man who raped and sexually abused his young daughter a decade ago has been jailed for 10 and a half years. 55-year-old Michael Carter was found guilty last month following a trial at the Central Criminal Court of one count of rape and 25 sample counts of sexual assault between June 2010 and June 2014, when his daughter Karen Harkin was aged between 9 and 12 years old. The court was previously told that Carter of Kinnegan, Ballymagan, Buncrana, County Donegal, does not accept the verdict of the jury and maintains his innocence. Ms. Harkin, now 22, waived her anonymity so her father can be named. Ms. Harkin's parents were separated, and the court has heard the abuse occurred when she visited her father's rented home between 2010 and 2014. Important to mention, actually, this did happen in a rented property, not the convicted's own property. Imposing sentence on Tuesday, Ms. Justice Karen O'Connor said Carter took advantage of his position and abused his daughter when he should have protected her. She said there had been a massive breach of trust between a father and his young daughter. The Inishowen Independent, as I mentioned, a young Buncrana woman who was raped and sexually abused by her father when she was a child, has said she will no longer imprison herself in feelings of guilt and shame that are not mine to carry. Karen Harkin read her victim impact statement during the sentencing hearing yesterday of her father, Michael Carter, who was found guilty last month, as we mentioned there. The court heard that Ms. Harkin waived her anonymity to reduce the stigma of abuse, while Carter does not accept the verdict of the jury and maintains his innocence. As I say, just the most horrendous of stories. It's involving children when you're charged with protecting, not charged, it's what you do. And to abuse that is just horrendous. The Donegal Post this morning: a Frosses businessman who provided employment to countless young Irish emigrants in the UK is to be honoured with Donegal's highest honour, the freedom of the county. Tom Kelly is chairman of the Kelly Group. From bringing cable TV to hundreds of towns across Ireland and the UK, to staying up to speed with the latest high-speed broadband technology, his company has been at the cutting edge of the telecommunications industry since being formed in the 1980s. Nowadays, the Kelly Group has a workforce of around 3,500 people. Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Martin Harley, is a fellow Frosses man. He decided that in his year as mayor, Mr. Kelly would be a fitting recipient of the freedom of the county. On to the Nationals now, and you heard Leo Varadkar in the news bulletins there. There's more of it on the front of the Irish Times. Varadkar sets out stall for budget giveaway in October, which again, you know, is interesting. Listen, anything that puts extra money in people's pockets has to be welcomed, but there have been surveys that sort of suggests that people would prefer improved services, hospital services, you know, mental health supports and what have you. But anyway, be that as it may, reductions in personal tax, further energy supports and a major package aimed at reducing child poverty are to be included in October's budget, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has said, speaking to journalists at government buildings after the final cabinet meeting. Before the summer break, the Fine Gael leader put a strong emphasis on providing support for business. He said small businesses in particular were facing an array of rising costs, including increases to the minimum wage, high energy bills, additional sick day provision, and the auto-enrolment of workers in pension schemes. And I think they're going to need some help with that, he said. The Taoiseach also outlined plans for a range of other giveaways in the budget. He said there would be more support for people with their energy bills, adding that it was pretty obvious that people will need help with them during the winter. Now, I get that too. I just feel, to me, again, and I don't know what anyone else thinks, but why are energy providers not lowering their prices? They're making an absolute fortune. They're buying electricity really, really cheap. They're still selling it to us at a very high rate, and then we're going to pay them again. We're going to subsidise it through central funding. That's how it feels. Maybe it's going to look different. So they're sitting on the pig's back. Why would they reduce prices now in the summer? Why would they do that in full knowledge that the government's going to support their customers? You know, you would just say, hold on, yeah, we're going to stick with the high prices here because the government's going to come out with the checkbook in the winter. Maybe it's not like that, but that's how it feels. Again, I'd probably prefer to see more stronger language and regulation and whatever is required to force, if it's required, force the electricity companies to bring our power down. It would help businesses. It would help residential customers. Our electricity is way and above what's being paid in other parts of Europe, and it's way and above what they're paying on wholesale on the wholesale markets. Remember, it was about 4 or 5 months ago when they said, oh, it'll take a while for the savings to come through. Well, where is the reductions in the bills? I haven't seen them yet. I'm getting contacts from people who are getting bills for €1,500, businesses getting bills for €5,000 or €6,000. And what's the solution is to give the electricity companies more taxpayers' money. Again, maybe I'm looking at it in a naive fashion. But anyway, that's it just doesn't seem right. Interesting in the Irish Independent, maybe a bit of a knee-jerk reaction, is it, from the American embassy? But anyway, American citizens in Ireland have been issued a stark warning about personal safety in light of recent incidents of violence in Dublin. The warning from the US embassy in Dublin comes just days after a US tourist was left with serious injuries after an assault in the city centre. It cites a number of safety measures that travellers should take in what could damage Ireland's international reputation as a welcoming destination for tourism. Pressure is mounting on the government over the policing of street crime. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar yesterday admitted the government target of recruiting 1,000 new Gardaí this year is going to be very hard to meet. It's hard, and we've spoken to people, former guards and parents on this show before, that said they would actually actively discourage their young people from entering the force. But anyway, the embassy is warning citizens to exercise good personal security while travelling in light of a number of recent incidents. They were also told not to place passports and valuable items in the outer pockets of backpacks or purses or on tables or in public places, not to carry cash, not to walk alone at night. I mean, I don't know if it's a stark warning. I think that's common sense. I think any of us sending our young ones or someone we cared about to any city would sort of offer them that kind of advice. But anyway, it's only went up on the website since that attack, so maybe that's their focus there. The Irish Daily Mail tells us that hate crime legislation will drastically increase the workload for Gardaí and leave less time for ordinary policing duties. That was a warning issued to government last night. Dublin-based Detective Garda Mark Ferris said the new law as planned is so broad that it will lead to officers being overwhelmed with even more paperwork at a time when Gardaí is struggling to leave their desks and get out onto the streets. The warning comes amid increasing fears of the level of crime in Dublin city centre following a serious assault on a US tourist last week. Yesterday, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar pledged more Gardaí for the north in the city, but accepted, as we said earlier, that the recruitment target of 1,000 extra officers will be difficult to achieve. Let us go now to the Irish Sun. Claire Byrne has a big interview in it. Claire Byrne pulled out of the race to host the Late Late Show after seeing the abuse she was subjected to on social media while a front runner for the role. The RTE star, 47, removed her name from the shortlist in May, claiming not to have had any meaningful discussions with anyone about the top TV job. Claire was the bookies' favourite to take over from Ryan Tubridy, who hosted the final episode of the flagship chat show on May 26th after 14 years at the helm. However, the mum of three said the online trolling she already faces could reach a whole new level if she got the life-changing Late Late Show gig, which was later bagged by comedian Patrick Keelty, who, by definition, and some of you may agree or disagree, but because he's a fella, will receive less online criticism. That is, I've seen it with my own eyes. It's just a fact. It's just a fact of the matter. But Claire revealed in that whole period when my name was on the frame or in the frame for the Late Late Show, I did see some of the social media comments which I thought crossed the line in many cases. She said there. Now on to, it is the Irish Daily Mirror this morning. Government officials are understood to be considering adding extra seconds to the time the green man is lit at pedestrian crossings. Now, let's see if you can get a pedestrian crossing. The move is to give the elderly and unfit, as they're described here, more time to get across the road. A special task force has been established to examine the issue regarding traffic management and pedestrian lights. Ireland has the oldest population in Europe and our obesity levels are one from top of the EU chart. So they're going to make the green man stay on a little bit longer. Okay, were you lucky in getting your Coldplay tickets? There's more tickets available on Friday. Coldplay yesterday announced an unprecedented four nights at Croke Park as fan demand went through the roof. The Rockers made a surprise announcement that they'll play a fourth date next year on September 2nd to add to the August 29th, August 30th and September 1st gigs and an online frenzy. And in, amid, sorry, an online frenzy. I think I'm going to have to give it and get glasses. You know, I really do. This place is them ahead of you two. I just put them on. I have them. This place is them ahead of you two who've only ever played three nights at Croker and just behind Garth Brooks, who's played five, but it came after fans were left furious at the price of some tickets they were offered following hours in the virtual queue for pre-sale yesterday. Listen, let's just call it as it is. Nowadays, there's general release tickets, ish general. Then there are VIP packages. So by the time you get through waiting to buy a ticket, the only ones that are left are 3, 5, 6, 7, 800. It's like hotel rooms. Well, actually, that's a terrible example. But anyway, there are just certain amounts of tickets that that are held back that are special views, special features. That's just a feature of the way it is now, whether people like it or not. Now, this is off the back of people struggling to get Taylor Swift tickets. Last night, tickets for all four gigs were... this is still for Coldplay. Last night, tickets for all four gigs were already appearing on international resale websites for over eight times their face value. One site, and how is this allowed? Dutch-based Ticketband was offering upper-tier seating costing €48.61 for more than €410. So how is that allowed to happen? I mean, is it a fair fight? Do these companies have, you know, 1,000 people or more, maybe, or even AI or technology or whatever, buying up these tickets that end up then getting resold on websites for massive amounts of money? You know, I think the bands, the promoters, the government, whoever is responsible, need to make sure that it is a fair playing field for fans. Anyway, that's Coldplay. Four nights next year. And I'd say they could do five. They'd probably sell five. Now, yesterday morning, we spoke extensively to Sinead, the partner of Greg King, who had went missing around about midnight, Sunday night to Monday morning. And a major search operation was launched as a result. But very sadly, in the search for missing Greg, a body has been recovered. So it would seem a very sad outcome to this missing persons appeal. John McAteer is the editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune and he rejoins us on the programme. John, what do we know about the discovery of the body?
The body was recovered from the lake at Kinnaloch near the community centre just around 11 o'clock last night. It was formally identified, the last rites were administered by a local priest, retired priest, Father Francis McAteer. Two doctors were in attendance, and a huge, huge crowd of people had assembled to join Father Francis in the rosary. And the remains were then removed to the mortuary at Letterkenny University Hospital. And I suppose it was the saddest of conclusions, inevitable probably from early on yesterday. Huge search, it intensified throughout the evening, and I suppose I spoke with the family after I left here yesterday, and they were holding out that flicker and glimmer of hope. They were also overwhelmed with the huge support that they were getting from the people, and there was no stone left unturned in the search. And you know, you just can only stand back and admire the huge work that went on, especially from the people of Fannet themselves.
And the appeal went out quite early in the missing persons appeal for public assistance. And as you say, that local people weren't found wanting in that regard. They really rallied behind the family in an effort to find Greg, because I think given the time he disappeared, given the clothes he was wearing, it was clear that time was of the essence to try and locate him.
Time was always going to be of the essence because, you know, the temperature on both nights was just under 10 degrees. And, you know, it was like late yesterday evening around 5, 6, 7 o'clock. It was evident that the intensity of the search was concentrating in a particular area, pretty close to the lake shore and in and around the community centre. And there were some rechecks and retracing of steps being done. And there was a very determined effort to bring this to a conclusion probably by last night. And yesterday was the most intensive of days for everybody concerned. And huge numbers of people, hundreds of people there last night, literally hundreds of people. I just saw it. I didn't get there in time. I was still working close to midnight and I headed home. And I was driving out on that road from Port Salon towards the post office at Ballylar. And you reach a high point in that road where you're looking directly down at the community centre at Trialloch. The whole place was bathed in light. Unbelievable. And that was reflecting off the lake. And then all of a sudden, dozens of cars began streaming away. Obviously, the remains had been, was departing for the hospital. And I talked to numbers of people between that and probably one or half one. I think I texted you sometime around that. And there was also, you know, a relief, absolute sadness and shock and sympathy for the families. But, you know, there was that inevitability about it that we must find the body. They were no longer, you know, around after lunchtime yesterday, you passed that 36-hour mark, a missing man in very light clothing, a pair of shorts and a short-sleeved vest. And the fear was there. Maybe we won't find him. Where do we start looking next? But the search continued and they stuck at it. And the search was based at the Fannet Lodge where he had spent the afternoon and the night on Sunday. And to all of those people involved there, they were just heroic.
And John, I mean, there will be an investigation, obviously, because people will want answers. Just because that's the nature of us as humans, we need to know as best as is possible what happened.
Well, there'll be a post-mortem probably sometime today, and arrangements will then be made. And I suppose it is anticipated that the body will be released to the families, the King family and the Harp family who are here in Fannet. The King family had travelled up here on Monday night from Galway and from Sligo and spent some time here. And they were also blown away at the numbers of people out working at midnight. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the middle of all that, there's this young group on quads who probably covered hundreds of miles in their search. And they would return to base and just line up regimentally, waiting for the next order to go. And fair play to them for their hard work and their dedication.
Okay, John, and thanks for the way you described that, to give those of us from outside the area and who didn't witness that an idea of how the local community responded. And the reason that's important too, in that Greg now will be returned to his family and his partner, but also
It
will bring, I presume, and I hope it will bring comfort to his partner and family that we cared so much and everyone in the area tried so hard to find him, in the hope it would be a positive outcome.
Just a word of grateful thanks to all of the emergency services. They were all there on the scene. They did everything possible to find, first of all, the search was to find Greg, and then the search would have moved on sometime yesterday to finding the body. And to all of those who joined in and participated, 100,000 thanks to all of you.
Okay, can't add anything to that other than to fully agree with you, John. Thank you so very much for your time this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, take care of yourself. That is John McAteer, who is the editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune. Okay, so yesterday we had the announcement of the All-Ireland Rail Review. There have already been calls for a time frame to be put into place, like general acceptance and welcome of it, of course, of the All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review. However, there are calls for us to see, you know, what are the time frames in order to see this delivered. But that's sort of normal reaction, I suppose. Right, okay, let's go to Senator Pauline O'Reilly, Chair of the Green Party in Ireland. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Greg.
It's good to have you with us. Okay, so this is obviously welcomed news. A lot of this had been sort of released in advance, so to speak. What's your reaction to this?
Yeah, look, I think it's obviously really very welcome, particularly for the Northwest. And I think that's what a lot of the reports coming out yesterday were, that this is kind of revolutionary for us in the West and the Northwest. Ireland had been one of the best connected countries in the world in terms of rail. And unfortunately, a lot of that was dropped, as we all know, in the 50s and 60s. And we obviously have a situation now where Donegal isn't connected at all by rail. So I know from having spoken to Eamon Ryan many times prior to this piece of work, that he was keen to reinstate some of that line and also to put in place new lines where some had disappeared entirely. So I suppose there's kind of two pieces that are relevant for Donegal, and but they all revolve around Letterkenny linking up Letterkenny to Derry, and then also linking down to Portadown and through to Monaghan, Cavan and Mullingar. And so essentially you'd have almost the whole island connected. And I think that would bring tourism, but also just ensure that people are connected for work, for, you know, the sake of communities, bringing communities together. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially what's underpinning this. But there's also
Senator,
so many
just,
other bits.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go through that. But Senator, like, as I say, I don't want to sound as if I'm being negative, and I really hope I'm not, but this is obviously a really ambitious plan, and we hope it all comes to fruition. But there is sort of this gaping gap between sort of Sligo and Letterkenny, where we could have connected down the West Coast, for an example, or even maybe a more direct connection to Dublin. When we were doing this, and when we're sort of laying it out so far in advance, would it not have made sense to just make that connection at this time now, so that someone could travel the Wild Atlantic Way in a train, or that it would be easy to ferry goods from Galway to Letterkenny, for an example?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would certainly be in favour of that myself. Now, I think it's a huge piece of work that we've got. Colooney down to Athenry, like politically, to get that and to get the other parties on board with even that piece was a lot of work. And the rail line has, you know, it's very windy, more northerly than that, and has fallen into disrepair. And I suppose that's the argument that those who were doing the review have. But I don't think that it's insignificant that we have the other pieces. Like, actually, we have had no new rail opening for decades and decades in Ireland. And in fact, already, even before this review has been published, we've already started some of the pieces of work. So, for instance, a new rail line is already going in now between Limerick and Foynes for that piece, as you say, about the connectivity for freight. And I suppose there's a few different reasons for doing this. One is connectivity, one is climate, and one is tourism. So it is there's loads of reasons to do it. But as with everything, it costs money. Choices have to be made. Like these pieces of rail are no more expensive than a fairly short piece of road, but you know, and I know that the political support has been there to build huge pieces of road infrastructure, and it just hasn't been there for rail. And I think, I suppose that's what the Greens coming into government, it has shifted that. And also, I think it's important to point out, which I was going to say, is this connectivity between bus and rail, because we've also been let down by bus services across rural Ireland. So since we came into government, we have been putting in place one new rural bus service a week across the country. And a few of those have gone into Donegal already. But this is just phase one. But a piece that has been really frustrating, I suppose, is for those who do have rail, is that connectivity between the bus and the rail station. So you mightn't have a rail network beside you, but you do have connectivity from the bus to the rail station. I can't tell you the number of people who tell me the bus arrives 10 minutes after the train takes off when you're trying to get, you know, from Ballina, for instance. So those are all of the things that this will deal with. And also higher speed from Derry across to Belfast, for instance, higher speed down from Sligo down to Dublin. All of those pieces are part of this plan as well. Right, and some of them are easier to do than others, you know.
So, Senator, in terms of timeframes, when is it likely that we are going to see, you know, meaningful progress in terms of a rail link into Letterkenny? Because, you know, obviously there's going to be short-term, medium-term and long-term, and the default position for us up here in Donegal, and we've almost been conditioned to this, Pauline, if you'll excuse me saying so, is that, you know, it's 2049 for when a shovel might start going into the ground up here in the northwest. Do we have any indication of a real tangible time frame as to when something like this not even could be delivered, but could definitely start in a meaningful way, particularly, as I say, the rail connection to Letterkenny?
We don't at the moment have that time frame. Now, when I was speaking to Eamon Ryan, he did say it's one of the top three priorities from the rail review was Donegal. But, you know, all of these things, as I said, take money and take political decision making. Like, there's a list as long as your arm of different kind of infrastructure projects that outside of this rail review, and whoever is in government, and we would hope we get a second term in order to be able to progress these measures, will have to make decisions. And so there has to be political pressure applied. But certainly some of the projects have already started, which I think is good news then for some of the other projects which are not shovel ready, because once you get some of those ones out of the way, for instance, that piece down from Mayo to Galway, that I think we will see progression of that within the next couple of years. That won't be too long. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any time frame, and I'm being honest about that in terms of Donegal, but I will certainly be putting my all into applying pressure, because it's the clear gap.
Yeah,
you know.
How does this get implemented then, Senator? I mean, is this a wish list or an expression of intent? Do you know what I mean? Like, what has to happen for you know, work to actually start on some of this? Because this is going to be through the lifetime of multiple governments. So, in other words, is this just a document that's, you know, we'd like to do this? Or is it costed? Is it implemented? Is it adopted? In other words, would a government coming in after this government, if it were to change, would they have to sort of change policy to not go ahead with this? Just so people understand, you know, how firm these plans are. Yeah. I hope you understand the motivation of the question.
Absolutely. No, and I think it's a really important point. I think, of course, it is a list of what we want to do. But in the past, we had a rail review that said, for instance, it wasn't viable to go ahead with some of the pieces in Mayo. And that was was faulty. It didn't look at the real population centres, and this overturns that. And so I suppose the second piece is that it has the political backing now of three parties, which is Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, because it's come out of cabinet yesterday. But I think the big issue here is when is the money put against these things? Mm. And, you know, the costing overall for this network, the costing that I've seen is, you know, about 30 billion, about 35 billion. Again, that's, you know, that while that's a lot of money, that is actually how much money we have in the pot for transport in general in the country at the moment. But this is to be shared between the north and the south. So about 25% of the money coming from the north of Ireland, because some of those bits, as I've said, are going through Portadown and so on. So a lot more of the money will be coming for the for the Donegal pieces are coming from the north than obviously some of the other rail projects.
So Senator, just in terms of the practicalities of it, so I don't expect you to know the local information of all over the country. So I'll try and explain it as best as possible and then maybe get a reaction to you. So at the moment, there is the 10T road project for Donegal, which involves the construction of a bypass and a link between Letterkenny and the border, effectively, Letterkenny and Strabane. And that will effectively, I'd imagine, run on the route that that this rail line might be proposed for. So what does this mean then in terms of spend on roads that have already been announced and confirmed? What does this mean in terms of the progression of those projects? Because it would be foolish for that road now to go in without us saying, okay, right, before we put that road in, we do intend to run a rail line alongside it or instead of it or whatever it might be. And I think when we start planning and thinking like that, people might start to believe this is real. So in other words, say this road is built and we hope it is from Letterkenny to the border to link with the A5 eventually, unless that factors in how a rail line will also be accommodated, or unless we know where in Letterkenny a train station may be, it all just feels like notional and fantasy. So will current road infrastructural plans be re-looked at to see how they might impact plans for Rail Link over the next couple of decades?
I think when it comes to Donegal in particular, this isn't going to impact on roads. You know, like there may be other parts of the country where choices have been made and probably incorrectly have been made to prioritise some road projects. But that's not really the case for Donegal, because it doesn't have other kinds of infrastructure. And there has been an absolute commitment to a ring road around Letterkenny. And there's no question of this being impacted whatsoever. I think it's fair to say that when it comes to rail for Donegal and bus, it's additionality. But there will be some other parts of the country where, you know, I was talking about the list as long as you're on. Like, there's a list of 100 billion worth of projects, including roads, and the majority of those being roads. And yet the envelope of money we have is 35 billion at the moment. Now, that'll change over time. So you can see there the choices have to be made.
And but finally, Senator, does it...
Fortunately or unfortunately for Donegal, having very little public transport, fortunately or unfortunately, that's not the case that you're going to be prioritising some of the other aspects over roads. I think both would have to go hand in hand, because some of the projects are going to take longer. I mean, we just need to be honest about that.
Yeah, and very finally, obviously, we've been waiting with anticipation for this announcement. It's about, you know, practical stuff. I think you're answering a lot of questions before they're asked about in terms of, you know, well, we have to make sure the buses work with the trains, you know, common sense stuff. Does it frustrate you at all that whilst, you know, this should really be a completely positive announcement, that you have the Taoiseach then talking about roads, you know, and about, well, this really effectively makes it even more important for us to spend on roads as well. You know, because obviously there's going to be a lot of people that are asking the same questions that I am about sort of road spends. Like, is the government on the same page in terms of messaging? Because you're talking and excellently about alternative travel with an eye on the environment and everything else, and yet we still have the head of the government talking in the same space about, oh no, roads still, we have a big future for roads, we have to spend on roads. It must be a bit frustrating for you, is it?
I think you know, it's unrealistic from the Taoiseach, and you know, I'm in a different political party, so I'm not going to agree with everything that the Taoiseach says. I think Ireland needs to open its eyes, and particularly some of the politicians. We only have to look across Europe to see the kind of devastation that climate change is causing. And here, June was the hottest on record ever for Ireland. July is the wettest ever, both caused by climate change. And that has an impact on our food security, apart from anything else. But look, park that to one side and let's just talk about the transport for a second. It's really important that we recognise that when we went into government, only 53% of rural Ireland had access, people in rural Ireland had access to any kind of public transport. And we're trying to increase that now, and are increasing that to 70% by the end of the decade. Mm. And before that even is what we're going to achieve. And that is because the Greens are in there. But of course, that means an extra 30% that don't have access to public transport, that continue to need that kind of road infrastructure. But the choices are where you put that. Do you put that in a place where people already have public transport? Mm. And some of the places, particularly around Dublin, around Wicklow. And I don't believe that it's necessary
so
for some
of
those.
Do you think the Taoiseach's a wee bit out of touch then?
I think he is, because I do believe that people are worried. People in rural Ireland are worried if we're talking about public transport. And the big message I want to give is public transport then allows people choices. It doesn't mean we're saying no cars and no roads, but some road projects will have to be put on a back burner. But it depends on where you are in the country. And the other thing, of course, is that a survey was done by the EPA and found that just as many people in rural Ireland as in urban Ireland care about the environment, and the levels are very, very high in Ireland.
Okay.
So I know that people want this, but I know that they need to see it progressing. Fortunately, we have seen that through the bus services and through one new rural bus service a week. I think that hopefully this rail review will show that we're also on a trajectory to link back up places through rail. When the Greens were in government last time, we opened a part of the Western Rail Corridor that had been closed for a couple of decades. And this time we're already working on some rail pieces along the West Coast. And we want to progress that. And that does mean getting people in who actually care about this stuff and being honest with people.
Senator, thanks so much for your time this morning. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
OK, that's Senator Pauline O'Reilly, who's chair of the Green Party in Ireland. Now, Reverend Canon David Crooks is the chair of the West Ulster Rail Initiative and has been listening to the Senator's comments there. And sorry for holding you, Reverend. I just thought it important to try and ask maybe some of the questions that you might have for the Senator. So in terms of the campaign for proper rail and motorway infrastructure back into the Northwest, how do you react to this announcement, and what is your reaction to it?
Well, thank you very much indeed for having me on the air today. First of all, I want to emphasise there's another gentleman, Mr. Brendan Flanagan from Mallon. Charming old gentleman with a beautiful Limerick accent, but he's very much involved in this campaign too, and he is the secretary of the West Ulster Rail Initiative. And I'm delighted at long last, we're going to have rail to Donegal. And a lot of the emphasis yesterday was on the Derry Portadown link. That's all very well. We'd love to have that back again. But much more important, as far as we're concerned, is Derry Letterkenny down to Cork, the Western Rail Corridor, to get all that built up. We've had the Galway to Limerick line reopened now. That is wonderful. I've been on it a couple of times, and it's a good full train. So it's obviously a huge success. How much more would Derry to Cork be? People could get on and off here and there. It'd be a lovely thing to have. For the benefit of the environment, obviously, for ecological and environmental reasons, especially with all these global warming and the government's commitment to try and reduce it, carbon emissions and all that, not to mention the benefits to tourism and industry and all sorts of other things. Now, there are several important points that need to be made here, that Donegal is in the Republic of Ireland, not in Northern Ireland. Northern physically, but not politically. People don't know that. It's amazing how many people think we're outside the Republic. We're not. Very important to Donegal is recognised as a region of the Republic of Ireland which has been totally neglected. Another point I want to emphasise very strongly is that road and rail are equally important in our campaign. We want to get decent roads up here. Now, quite recently, the government has started to rebuild the Limerick to Foynes line because of the deep water port. Donegal has two major deep water ports, Killybegs and Lough Swilly. And railway would make that a possibility. Killybegs has lost out on some major project recently, and because it does have no connection for lifting heavy freight, that kind of thing, very important indeed that a proper rail service is brought to the northwest, all down the west coast, to make industry and all sorts of other facilities available to us.
Yeah, speaking to the senator though, in terms of a connection, say for instance from Letterkenny through Donegal Town down to Sligo, they don't seem to think that that's it would hold the whole project up. Too expensive, too difficult to build. That's unfortunate, but you'd really love to have seen that in there as an intention as part of this significant document, Reverend, wouldn't you?
Yes, of course I would. And our campaign, the main emphasis of our campaign is Derry to Cork. Mm. Of course, Derry Portadown would be lovely to have, and also Monaghan to Dundalk down to Dublin, so a direct link between Letterkenny and Derry Strabane to Dublin via Portadown or a Monaghan and Dundalk, whatever route, Mullingar to Portadown. But our main emphasis is on the West Coast rail link, which will bring in places like Killybegs and get their deep sea ports there functioning properly and able to. But it's most important that we get this Western Rail Corridor. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really emphasised in the Strategic Rail Review, but we are going for it and we have to have it. And by the way, I want to thank the Senator for her excellent presentation to you during a few minutes ago. She really put the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Okay. Okay, so it is a cautious welcome. How would I characterise your reaction to this news, Reverend? It's good, but we've...
Cautious welcome. Yeah. Delighted. I mean, we are going to get rails. Now, the next thing is I'm 71 years of age. I'd like to live to see the trains back in Letterkenny before 2050 when I'd be 98. I remember as a small boy at the age of 7 seeing all the old railways being torn up and removed Letterkenny Station. I remember the old steam engines and rail cars plodding into Letterkenny and the old station in there, and all that disappeared. And I remember being terribly upset about it as a boy of 7, 1959. I would like to see all that restored now and a proper railway service into Letterkenny. It would just be lovely. I'd love to have 7 or 8 years of the rest of my life to see all that done.
Cannon, thank you very much for your time this morning. I do hope...
By the way, I want to make another point.
Yes.
If I may, I would like to thank Highland Radio and all the local media for supporting our campaign and giving us good publicity at all times. We're deeply grateful for that.
No, Cannon, listen, it's our pleasure. It's in all of our interests, to be honest, as well as anything else. Thank you much for your time. I do appreciate
I just hope that the government gets down to this now, opens the purse and get on with it, not 10 years' time, but right away.
Exactly. I think we all agree, and I was hoping to pin the Senator down to that. Take care. That's Reverend Cannon David Crooks, who's chair of the the WURE West Ulster Rail Initiative. So looking at the map that was published yesterday. Now, obviously, it is welcome to see this offshoot from Letterkenny into to meet between Derry, Strabane, Omagh, Dungannon, Portadown, and on it goes. But there is this glaring gap. Is there not a glaring gap from Letterkenny to Donegal Town, maybe out to Killybegs, down through to Sligo, and you'd love it then to connect into Ballinar. That would make sense, wouldn't it? But anyway, look, we'll see. We'll keep plugging away. The map shows a little bit of activity in the northwest, if it's ever delivered, and we hope it is. But when you look at the map from over 100 years ago, it was like the veins, the railway veins, spreading throughout the entire island of Ireland, all Burton Port, Killybegs, all connected up. There was a train station, train stop in Lahey, just next door to where I live. I'd just love to have seen it. I love talking to people who have seen it and about it. Okay, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Hello, Greg. I just saw the article on Highland's website about the road traffic collision on the A5. I was travelling to Dublin on Friday morning and just missed the incident. I've been on that road 3 times since March and it's been a detour each time because of an accident. That comes in from Grace, just underlining how important it is that that road is upgraded just as soon as possible. Greg, from today's Irish Independent, American citizens have been issued a stark warning about personal safety in light of recent incidents of violence in Dublin. The warning from the US Embassy in Dublin comes just days after a US tourist was left with serious injuries after an assault in the city centre. The American Embassy in diplomatic talk, says Raymond, is telling everyone in the US not to travel to Dublin. It's simply too dangerous and you'd be taking your life in your own hands by doing so. Does it go that far, Raymond? It depends on what type of a traveller you are. If you're a nervous traveller or incredibly cautious, definitely. But some people might just look at that and go, well, you could say the same of any city. But I do understand where you're coming from and, of course, respect your point of view. Greg, if proof were needed that Donegal doesn't exist as far as Dublin is concerned, I was listening to the weather forecast this morning at 7.58. It started off, the last few days have shown some respite in the heavy rain, but it's likely to return. Do they forget the flooding of Castlefin Rathfarn convoy in the past few days? We obviously don't matter up here. Yeah, the national forecasts are a little bit frustrating. I do have to agree with you. But then again, maybe when you're in the southeast and you're saying, why are they always talking about the rain coming in from the northwest? Why don't they talk about how sunny the southeast is? I don't know. The shoe might be on the other foot. Who is to say? Okay, listen, a busy first hour. We're going to take a break now for the news and obituary notices. But stay right where you are. We've another busy hour on the way for you here on the Nine Till Noon Show.